Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Savior of sinners, and we come with this hope, the Lord reigneth, He rules, He's in charge of everything, and nothing is definitely ever going to happen without His knowledge or apart from His will. Nothing, not one single thing. I was driving along today thinking about this, that there are people who believe that there are such things as accidents. I do not believe in those. I believe that there is a sovereign God who rules, and everything at every time, all the time, is under His charge, under His watchful eye, in the control and under the control of His hand. So the Lord rules, and He governs in the affairs of men. And sometimes people will ask the question, with, if He's in charge, why are all of these things happening? The Lord has given to us a will, and we can make choices, and we can. He has given to us this will that we can choose, as the Scriptures say, choose you this day whom you will serve. Why do you stand halt between two opinions? As the prophet Elijah said to the children of Israel, and they were in the midst of making decisions between whether or not they would serve the Lord and or Baal in 1 Kings 18, flying like a bird, swinging on one limb for a while and then moving to another, back and forth, just getting around. Well, the Lord would have us to know that you make the choice. I rest in Thee, O Lord. I am choosing to trust in Thee. And then once we've made that choice, do you think that you'll ever have to say again, Lord, I am trusting in Your word, in Your way? You have to come back and make the decision afresh. You present your body a living sacrifice. Now, the question, of course, is this. In Romans 12, when the statement was made that you present your body as a living sacrifice, how often was the sacrifice to be presented? It was presented in the morning, presented in the evening, presented daily, presented at the beginning of the day, and presented at the end of the day. There never was a time when the sacrifice was not offered until the tabernacle was taken to place, the temple was destroyed, and then there was no place. But we are to be presenting ourselves. And so in so doing, whatever the Lord permits to happen to us, we say it is God's will. The Lord be honored and glorified. Let the Lord be magnified. Let His name be exalted. And we give thanks to the Lord that He will use us to exalt His holy name. So I don't believe in anything called luck or miracles or visions that people will say, well, you know, but I had this vision that such and such a thing is going to happen. Well, what's the purpose of you having that vision that it's going to happen? So that you can be glorified, so that people can say, why, that surely is a man or a woman of the Lord. No, you're stealing glory from God. You're stealing glory from the Lord when you make people think that you're something great. After all, if the Lord would have us to know, why would He tell, like one preacher said, a woman came to him and said, the Lord told me to tell you to preach on such and such a thing. Well, He's the preacher. He's the pastor. Why didn't the Lord tell him what to preach on? As we preachers do, go to the Lord and ask the Lord for counsel and directions and instructions on what He would have us to give to His people. And so anytime you have people that step out of line like that, you can know they've definitely stepped out of line. And they're trying to tell you things that are contrary to the way the Lord has laid them forth in the Scriptures. Our Heavenly Father, I ask again for Your power, pleading Your blood, thanking You, Lord, for this ministry that Thou hast given. I ask again for wisdom and for boldness and clarity to set forth Thy truth to these who have come. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Let's look now in the book of Genesis, and we are looking at Isaac in chapter 22, in which the Lord has told Abraham to offer up Isaac, his only son, whom he loved, upon the altar as a sacrifice. And then Isaac is there bound to the altar, ready to be sacrificed by Abraham. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. So again, I was telling you that when we look at that statement, the angel of the Lord is here, and then he's saying that you've not withheld your only son. The scriptures tell us it was the Lord who told Abraham to offer up his son. The scriptures also tell us that Abraham was willing to slay his son. The scriptures tell us that the angel interceded or intervened there and stopped Abraham from offering up his son. And then he says that I know you fear God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. So who was it that was speaking? It was the Lord speaking here in a pre-incarnate appearance, a before-the-flesh showing of the Lord Jesus Christ, or a before-the-flesh appearing of Christ. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. So the Lord here now is going to direct Abraham to where he can have an offering to place and to present to the Lord. So the Lord provided himself a ram for the sacrifice. So Abraham had lifted up his hand unto the Lord, and in obedience unto the Lord, ready to do what the Lord had spoken and commanded him to do. And then when the Lord speaks to him, he lifts up his eyes, he listens to the Lord, and he is ready to obey. Now, the Lord could have stopped him, but Abraham didn't test the Lord. He didn't tempt God and say, now, I came up here to make this offering, and I want to see how great you are. No, he didn't do anything like that. He loved Isaac, his son, and it was no delightful thing to him with the thought of his son being killed. But he did say to them, I and the lad, you will go yonder and worship, and we will come again. We're coming back. And that's the truth of the Lord Jesus. He's coming back. He died, but he's not dead. He's alive forevermore. Only he can make that statement, the one who was dead and is alive, everybody else. Even Lazarus, when he was raised from the dead, Lazarus died again. Jairus' daughter died again. The widow of Nain's son died again. The children that were raised to life by Elijah and Elisha died again. The man who was in the 2 Kings 13, when he was raised to life, he died again after he touched the bones of Elisha. He died again. But when Christ Jesus the Lord died, he arose from the dead, and he is alive forevermore, and he will die no more. And Abraham is showing by the act and the statement that he made here that he has hope in the Lord, that the Lord will raise up his son if he should take the son's life. Now, we saw that there were lapses of faith along the way. When Abraham put together his plan to provide or to protect himself, and every time he put together his plan, we saw that he had problems. And indeed, now he is ready to trust the Lord all the way, fully surrendered to the Lord. And he looks behind him and he sees his eyes. It says he looked and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. The horns held the ram in place till Abraham could get it. And then he said, and Abraham went and he took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering. So now look what he had to do. He had his son bound on the altar. And now when he is ready to offer up his son unto the Lord, he has to remove the ropes that had bound his son. And now bind this lamb, because he couldn't slay the lamb and then offer it. The lamb had to be alive on the altar and before it could be offered and slain, and the blood shed and the offering burned and consumed as a burnt offering unto the Lord. And so the Abraham now has this, and his son Isaac also is a part of this faithfulness of God, his knowledge of the Lord, and the fact that the Lord did work, will work, can work, and he now goes forth with this knowledge, armed with this truth, and having been a part of this experience. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Then in verse 14, Abraham calls the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And the Lord provided himself an offering, a sacrifice for sin. That's who Christ is. You see, the Lord is so holy that no good deed that you could ever do would ever nullify your sin so greatly until you would appear holy in yourself. Every time you handle sin, you are tainted and defiled by it. And especially your own, when you have it, when you have knowledge of sin, it does something to your mind, to your body. When you bring it into your body, when you look on it, it does something to the way you think and feel. Sin does not bring the glory that God, or the thought of God and the meditation upon him brings. Sin brings destruction. And so anyone who feels as though they are good enough and they have worked hard enough to remove sin from their record, they've been deceived by the very fact that they have handled sin and thus become more tainted by sin. So the offering that the Lord God required was met only in Christ Jesus. Let's look upon it this way. You take a piece of tape, and it's sticky on both sides, and you try to remove it from one hand, and you do so. But we try to remove it from the other hand, it sticks to the other hand again. And that's the way it is with sin. Every time you think you've moved it around, you think you've gotten rid of it, but you've become more contaminated by it. Now, the Lord offered up himself without spot to God, as we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. That the Lord hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's why it's so important. That's the only way that you'll ever please God, is through faith in Christ and what the Lord has done through Christ Jesus the Lord. He is our offering. He is our peace. He is our sanctification, our justification. That's who Christ is. So we must accept by faith Christ Jesus the Lord as our only hope, as our Savior, as the one who took away our sins, who blotted them out, cast them behind the back of the living and holy God, and now in him, in Christ, we appear as though we've never sinned. Father, we thank thee for this great gift of eternal life through faith in Christ. We ask for thy blessings now upon this message, and that some will find hope in Christ today, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson in Greenville, South Carolina. May the Lord richly bless you.